Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. You're listening to Aaron. That's Ange over there drinking water.
Hey.
Char's on the ones and twos. You can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us at our new home at bff.fm every Monday morning from 5:30 to 6 a.m. This is a special interview that we have for you guys. I know a lot of people love our basic bitches as we do too. We're trying to get back into the swing of things.
I think there were two reasons or multiple reasons why this was a special episode. One, we had to juggle a lot to get this one done because it was last minute.
Yep.
And, you know, there's three of us and three schedules to work with.
Yep.
So we made it happen last minute. And two, the powerhouse names and actors that we were going to speak to. And three, our love for this film. So it was kind of the trifecta of what a beautiful moment for Bitch Talk.
It really was.
Sorry. They were in studio. How often do we get to do...
That was kind of the biggest selling point of this whole interview was that the publicist on the film, We Love You, Marilyn, was like, oh, and I'm going to bring them to your studio. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That never happens.
Does that mean we got to keep our shoes on?
Yeah, does that mean we can't
the whiskey's got to hide?
What time of the day is this? Like, what are we doing? But we made it all happen. I'm so thankful that we did. What we're talking about is the movie Booksmart, if we probably didn't even say it yet. The movie's called Booksmart. It's directed by Olivia Wilde. You might know her name.
Duh.
And it stars Beanie Feldstein, Caitlin Dever, Nico Haraga, and Mason Gooding, who I'm an idiot. And after the interview, I figured out that Mason Gooding is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son. Duh.
I didn't know either, but... resemblance, duh.
Yeah, but yeah, so much duh around that. And then also the writer, one of the writers of the film, Katie Silberman, who was really sweet, sat in our studio, which our studio...
It's pretty big, I've thought.
Char's studio is pretty big. That's what she said. But when you cram in, is it five?
There were six of them.
Oh, six
there
people?
There were eight mics
six
total.
Six people, two publicists.
Yeah.
Our local publicist
was
outside.
An assistant. Golden rings.
Exactly. Plus we had cameras and we had my video guy.
One shirtless skateboarder, two podcast hosts, three... turtle doves.
Fuck. Three publicists.
I was doing so well.
Three publicists. And a Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son.
Mason.
That's good.
I think so. That was off the cuff. I know you're not going to believe it, but we didn't plan this.
That was actually really good. This is a good segue to SNL because, you know, Olivia Wilde is married to...
Jason Sudeikis.
Thank you. Do you guys ever... have you seen that... that sketch where it's, well, he's not there anymore, Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig.
Oh.
When they used to show up, oh yeah, this is hella old because Seth Meyers was still hosting, when they'd show up as a singing duo. Have you seen this one?
Yeah.
And they, every song is like ad-libbed and they're looking at each other but also cracking up. And
yeah.
That's how that felt. Anyways, SNL.
Well, the point is to bring it back to Booksmart.
Thank you.
This is actually a big studio. It is. But with eight people in it, it was real tight. We had to share a mic. That's what she said. We had to share a mic. Another two of them had to share a mic. And we were nervous, let's be honest. We didn't really know what to expect with that many people. We have 15 minutes. That's never enough for one person,
let alone six. Yeah.
And for us, you know, there's pressure, like we need to make sure everybody speaks, but you want it to flow. You don't want it to sound like, and now you will speak, you know?
Yeah.
But we were super lucky that they were so fucking wonderful.
They were so good.
And we were locked in the corner because we had cameras set up to record, so we couldn't step over the lights and the cameras. They came over to us to shake our hands.
Right.
And immediately I was like, okay, this is gonna be good.
Yeah. So, without further ado, listen to our interview for Booksmart. We have a full crew in the house.
Yes.
So we're going to get through intros real quick. We have director Olivia Wilde, Beanie Feldstein,
hello,
Caitlin Dever, Nico Haraga, Mason Gooding, and writer Katie Silberman.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, y'all.
Thank you.
Congratulations on a beautiful screening at the Castro the other night. Jesus,
that was incredible.
Criminy. By the way, you can say whatever you want because it's Bitch Talk.
Yes. The best fucking night of my life.
Duh. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh my God. So much laughter. And I was crying too a little bit. And I had a super bro sitting next to me and he was crying too.
Oh my God.
So you guys just hit it. You just hit it. Yeah.
Yeah, I really loved that. It was a coming of age film, which I always love, but with so much more heart and multidimensional characters.
Yes.
And actually, it made me want to go home and call my best friend, which
Good.
Not yes. from high school, which I didn't because I'm an asshole. But it, but I thought about
best
it.
Who's your best friend? Anyway.
From high school,
okay.
I said. Yeah. But not all coming of age films make me want yes. to like really remember that and connect so deeply. So thank you so much. And Olivia, I wanted to ask you, why did you want to come on this film? And as an actor, what did you bring as a director that really made the environment that you had always wanted as an actor?
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. I just created the environment that I always wanted to work within. I've spent half my life on set. I love movies so intensely, and I really love actors. And as a director, it's this amazing opportunity to take care of actors and to look out for them. And after spending so much time in their shoes, I know how to empathize with them and hopefully create an environment that allows them to do their best work and make them feel supported and safe and loved. And it was so easy because I had the best actors in the world. And to answer your first question, the reason I wanted to do Booksmart is because I wanted to tell a story about smart girls who were proud of being smart and weren't trying to assimilate. It wasn't a process of like becoming like the other kids. It was simply a process of accepting themselves and the others as individuals, as complex, nuanced people. And also, it's fucking funny. And I thought, yes,
right.
I want a funny movie with funny women and men, but a lot of funny women being brilliant. And it was honestly, you know, just the movie I wanted to watch because I grew up watching these kind of generational anthems, these high school movies like Breakfast Club and Dazed and Confused and Clueless. And there's so many we could list that shaped all of us. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to be a part of this. And it has surpassed all my dreams and expectations.
I wanted to touch on those past films because I was watching this and I heard that maybe someone else mentioned this in the cast or the crew that it felt a little Can't Hardly Wait.
Ooh,
which
yes.
when I was starting to watch the movie the other night, this movie, Booksmart, I was like, oh my God, I felt like I was back in 1998 in a theater about to watch Can't Hardly Wait. And it was great, but there was two women leads.
Yes.
And it was,
right.
I was like, this is the movie I wanted back then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank
too.
You. So I'm going to direct that to Katie, who is one of the writers on the film. What was your process writing this film and how was it bringing on a first-time director?
I mean, how much time do you have? Would you like to cancel the rest
like
of your...
We have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
so
quickly.
It was when I came onto the project, Olivia was already attached as director, which changed everything because she had such a clear vision and energy and enthusiasm for the kind of movie she was going to make. And it was so clear immediately how brilliant and funny she was that it was a movie I wanted to watch as much as it was a movie I wanted to work on. And it was fun to tackle, like those kind of generational classics that you're talking about, even Can't Hardly Wait. They're so timely about the period in which they're taking place and the generation that they're depicting. And so getting to dig into how best to represent this generation of young women who are so smart and incredible and brave. And I think also getting to be autobiographical about the fact that, as she was saying, like, in general, if a girl is smart in a movie, that's her defining quality. And it's, you know, she has glasses and she's nerdy and that's what happens all the time. But all of our best friends are brilliant. They're doctors and CEOs and businesswomen, and but they're funny and they're wild and they're weird. And so being able to tell a story that kind of reflects and honors our best friends in our lives and those women who being smart is the fourth quality we would mention about them before a lot of other things, even though they are so brilliant, that being able to reflect that kind of multidimensionality, as you were saying, about young women and how incredible they are, that was such a wonderful jumping off point for us to then try and tell the story that we hadn't seen before about women like that when they're young.
Okay, well, speaking of bright, brilliant, hilarious women. Caitlin and Beanie. Yeah.
You
play the best friends. Oh my God, the connection is so, so palpable. I love your chemistry on screen. And you were also roommates during production, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that help with the process? And I mean, the dance moves and the opening scene. I mean, it was just, it was amazing.
The dance moves just really came
from us.
Fully.
There wasn't a lot of direction for that.
The day we danced, it was just sort of like I got out of the car, we just like went for it.
Yeah. When Caitlin dances, my heart becomes alive. Like it literally lights up my soul to see her do her little like
oh yeah.
But I think the first time I properly met Caitlin, we had been like in the same rooms before, but we never were really introduced. And then when Caitlin was the first one attached, and then Olivia came on, and then I was the last piece of the puzzle in that way. And when the three of us met, we kind of loosely talked about the idea of, like, when you're on location and you film a film, there's so many opportunities for the cast to be together all the time. But we were shooting the movie in L.A., where Caitlin lives and where I'm from originally. So we wanted to try to replicate that experience of, like, that intense intimacy and just the amount of time you're with someone outside of set in addition to on set. And Liv was like, why don't you guys live together? Ha ha. And we were all like, no, actually, can we do it? Can we please do it? So I live in New York, so I was going to have to stay somewhere in L.A. And I was like, please make it a two-bedroom. Can Caitlin come live with me? And we lived together the entire rehearsal process and prep, which was incredible because by the time we even started shooting and we were together all day on set and going home together, we had this, like, intense friendship and bond and trust between each other. And it was fun.
It was so fun. And I think it was so fun because we had such equal passion for these two characters. And like we wanted to get our dialogue down so well. So we'd go home every night and go over our lines together. We had to learn Mandarin for the movie. We'd go over
As you do.
As you do. We also had French, but that was also, yeah. It was very fun.
Yeah.
It was very fun. Lots of cookies, lots of pancakes.
Well, I did want to say, Caitlin, I'm a little disappointed you didn't bring the auto harp. And your singing voice is so incredible. Alanis Morissette, I mean, just respect. Yes.
She has a band with her sister called Beulah Bell that you have to check out. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yes. And it's like, they're like Haim or like, all, like when you have sisters that sing together, it's just like magic.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Cool. Thanks, she's my publicist.
We gotta talk to the guys in the room. Oh, yeah. One guy has his jacket open, so I'm a little wasn't prepared for that. And it's fine, Nico. How is it working with this cast and with this group of women in the room?
Surreal.
Yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it. I mean, it's like, it's funny. It's hard to sort of encapsulate it in so few words, but to call it like the same but different seems like the best way to do it, because it's not as if because there's women everything feels different. Oh my God, there's women everywhere. It's the same in the sense that the talent is in a lot of cases better, but it's also very much the norm, which is why it's so funny Olivia hits on it all the time. It's not like there's a lack of female talent in Hollywood. Right. It's just a matter of giving them the platform to showcase that talent. And it doesn't really take a whole lot to find it either. It's just a matter of looking. And to work on set with such amazing and inspiring women really just showcases, I hope, to the rest of the world that that talent is both there and in need of being fostered. And it's not that hard to do it, so.
Yes.
Ooh, snaps. Mason.
Mason is not single. Mason is taken.
Ladies.
I'm over here like, yeah, these guys are bad. I love working with these beautiful ladies.
Yes.
Here next to me, they killed it. We need to foster. And we need to cherish it, because this was an absolutely amazing experience. Katie and Olivia are very supportive all throughout the process of filming. And then you just have a beautiful cast around you, also just like making you feel welcome. And there's no better feeling than, I think, being called to work in the morning and going in and not feeling like it's work. Mm. And leaving work at night and leaving feeling sad. Like, damn, I'm not working anymore.
Aww.
You know?
So
real. It's just
so
like
happy.
You know.
Well, Nico, you were also one of the actors on stage that you wore your own clothing, and we can see why. I mean,
that's right.
Check it out.
Or lack of clothing.
or lack thereof. Yeah.
No shirts.
Yeah, definitely. I take pride in my wardrobe. you know? Just got some swag going there. Just gotta
but that was like incorporating the real essence of these actors into their characters was really important to me. Like, I cast them not because I thought I could morph and change them into someone else. I cast them because I like who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're also unique and brilliant and fresh. And I wanted that in this movie. So their DNA, their real DNA is all over this. This is owned by the entire cast, because if they had completely left their real selves behind, we wouldn't have this amazing texture. So, like, Nico created Tanner, but Tanner has a lot of the real Nico that is so exciting. And I'm so grateful that they were so generous with their real selves, even just like wearing their real clothes. Like, some actors, I don't know, might feel uncomfortable with that, might say like, no, I'm here to transform. And instead, they were like, yes, let me give myself to the Booksmart. Let me give myself to this piece of history. I want to put my fingerprints on it. And I was so grateful for that.
Skylar, Jared's wardrobe is all of Skylar's.
and soon to be mine, because I want all of it.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation. I do want to give you huge kudos on your casting as well, and talking about queer, feminine, people of color, just like all of the points. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so,
so
lucky.
So thank you so much for being on Bitch Talk, all of y'all.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We love Booksmart.
Yeah. Seal of approval.
Yes, that's huge. Thank you, ladies. Yeah.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you.
You too.
That was our big ol' interview with the director of Booksmart, Olivia Wilde, the stars of the film, Beanie Feldstein and Caitlin Deaver, Nico Haraga, who ended up,
shirtless.
Unzipped in our interview, and then shirtless in our friend of the show, Dana Keys, her interview, he was shirtless. And then Mason Gooding, who is Cuba Gooding
Which,
Jr.'s
by the way, we've mentioned
son.
It in a past episode, but Ange and I have had an encounter with Nico before that we didn't know about.
Right. Yeah, for Skate Kitchen, which, such a good film if you haven't seen it. It's set in New York about a group of female skateboarders.
And so Nico, good.
Nico is also in it. But, so we met him prior, and it was really funny. He came up to me and was like,
after the interview,
No, before, when we were, he was shaking my hand.
We were taking pictures.
No, when he was shaking my hand, he was like, I met you before for Skate Kitchen. And he was just all cool and like skateboarder and not trying to be cool, but that's just, he just got an air.
He's like maybe 19.
He's got an air about him. Like,
he's a 19-year-old famous skateboarder.
It's not quite Spicoli because he's more like.
It is a little
bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh my God, that's who he is.
Yeah, but like.
Asian Spicoli.
Spicoli.
Yes. Yeah. Also, I didn't mention Katie Silberman, who's one of the writers and who was really lovely. But also, they pointed something out at the end of our interview, either when the mics turned off or I can't remember which time they mentioned it. But that they were being interviewed by a pair of like best friends.
Oh, that was
And we're
really...
like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
It's funny because they were saying like, oh, this is our first, because it's a film about friends.
Exactly.
If we haven't even, we haven't even talked
about the movie.
Okay, sorry, listeners, but we loved the crew, the cast and the crew so much that we haven't even talked about the film. It is about best friends in high school.
Yes.
And they're facing graduation and what comes of it. And there are so many coming of age films, as you know, and we've already talked, you've already heard the interview, but this one really is set apart.
Well, if you guys remember, listeners, if you remember the film, if you're a 90s kid, Can't Hardly Wait. It's that, but so much better. And just like the
and
film.
And from the female perspective.
Yes, the film that us as girls wanted and needed and didn't even know it back then. And it's so good. I'm so envious of the teenagers that get to see this for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I just am.
And it's just, it's really fun at the same time. Can't Hardly Wait was just fun to watch.
Yep.
And it is actually kind of like watching a music video, and Olivia Wilde has directed music videos.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's how she started with music videos, but this is her first feature.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was funny because, as you heard, Erin was like, how come I'm not your best friend? Right. When she was asking me about like whatever. So they picked up on that, and they really, Olivia Wilde turned to us at the end of the interview and said that was our best interview.
She looked us straight in the eye. And said that. And then
I know she's an actress, but she was not acting.
I'm going to go cry in the corner now.
Yeah. It was really special. We appreciate you guys for coming into the studio and for being so pleasant. It was just, it was really special.
Yeah. And Char, thank you for putting together a great
production.
Yeah, Char had to set up some shit for this. Yeah. It was an ordeal.
It was a lot of juggling, but I mean, but that's the stuff that, you know, that kind of fuels me. I don't know about you guys, but I've always said that I like, you know, you kind of like the buzz and you like the edge because it's the energy that kind of fuels you.
I hate when people say that turned me on, but it's the stuff that kind of turns you on and
the
you're just
third
like,
eye.
Yeah, the third eye got turned on. But but you're just like, fuck yeah, and we're going to make it happen and we're going to do all these things and it's just, we're all going to make it happen.
And what I like and what the stuff that we do is, you know, like Bitch Talk and Radio Rehab and all the other podcasts that I work with that are housed out of here and produced out of here is that, you know, we do have this, you know, edge of, we let things breathe, you know, we get to have real conversations and we get to hang out with people and we get to, you know, kind of be ourselves and talk about whatever. We're not in the world of, you got 10 minutes, you're going to ask these four questions and you're going to go straight to the point and you're not going to let any of your personality come out.
And then you're kicking over to the commercial.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, like, it's one of the reasons that I'm not, you know, fully engulfed in, you know, corporate radio still is because if I was doing this up the street at some of, you know, with some of my other old stations, I'd have 10 minutes and we had 10 minutes or we had 15 minutes, but we wouldn't be able to do what we did here.
No.
Right. And you'd have parameters and you couldn't say certain things or talk about certain things. And that's why, like, a lot of the podcasts that are really like Conan and what's his butt that's married to Kristen, what's her butt? Oh, fuck. Dax Shepard.
Oh, wow.
And
Mark. Pulling an Aaron Lim right there.
No, but, and that's what they all say is like, You get to do and say whatever you want. There are no rules, and that's why we're so lucky that we get to interview people, but without those rules and that pressure,
mm-hmm. Right?
And especially when we're on our home turf, they came to our home turf.
That's fun. It's fun to have it in studio here like we do, and you know we try to do it when we can, but you know.
I think the last time we had a guest in here was Steven Yeun,
mm-hmm.
And that was fucking special.
Yeah. He whiskeyed it up with us. It was too early for us to drink whiskey with Book Smart.
Yeah, it was
but
fun.
Yeah, Steven.
No, they were because they had done it the night before. Well, yeah, those are last
I
night in town
too.
In the middle of SF Film Fest, the premiere of their
drink
of their movie, there, which is
which
is
crunk,
awesome.
Yeah,
which
get your crunk on.
Which is it's fun. It's really fun, smart movie.
I can't wait to see it again. I'll pay for that shit.
And Olivia Wilde, like when I tell people like, oh yeah, I got to interview Olivia Wilde the other day, it's like, yeah, she's obviously super beautiful. I mean, that's a given.
Duh.
But there's just something so much more and
she's totally substance.
Yeah. And
she just is.
And really present and really cares.
Mm-hmm. She actually gives a shit.
Right, and that was just, I just really appreciate that about her.
And they're pounding the pavement right now.
For, yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. I saw
they've been all over.
Yeah, they're in London right now.
Oh, good for them.
Promoting.
Oh, it's gonna be hard for him to take off his shirt out there. It gets cold. Good luck, Nico.
Yeah, your nipples get a little hard.
Mm-hmm. Turkeys are done.
Yeah, I'll have to take a picture of some of the I'll have to take a picture of we have the walls that are the signatures on the walls here.
Yeah.
And Nico and Mason's are.
Oh, I haven't seen them.
Yeah, it's up in the little alcove in the front.
Oh,
front
got
corner.
It. Okay.
But it's so we'll have to put those on social media this week.
Okay, I'll take a photo of it. So see Booksmart. It actually opens May 24th in the Bay Area, and I'm gonna guess there's a trickling out of the film opening. But grab your friends and go see this film. It's really entertaining and it's so smart. And it's fun. You're going to have a good time. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. Yeah. You're going to think about high school. A lot.
Don't forget, you can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com and our new home, BFF.fm, for your Monday commute, 5:30 to 6 a.m. Thank you so much for listening to Bitch Talk, powered by GoTo Productions. Bitch, please.